Good morning, Tucson. Welcome to the Thursday edition. I had to think about that first. That's how late we are getting into the week. I mean, is it Thursday? Is it Friday? Is it the 22nd? Is it the 23rd? Welcome to the Thursday edition of the Creative City Show here on 1030 The Voice. We have just about made it to the weekend. I love getting to do this with you, Tucson. I'm your host, Zach Yenser, here on the show as every day, Monday through Friday, 10 to 12, we share the stories and strategies of the people and ideas shaping Tucson's future. And along the way, we envision, debate, and discuss the issues and themes necessary to get there. And we have a good time doing it. Right off the top here, I want to invite you to be a guest on this show on this hour, 520-790-2040. Because this first hour is you and me, and I'm really looking forward to it. I'm going to share some things that are happening in my head, a kind of Tucson thesis, if you will, some major issues related to Tucson and its future that I want to talk to you about. I want to get your thoughts and your insights and your opinions and your hot takes. We're going to talk everything today from annexation and population to city budget and resource allocation, new revenue models for cities, growth from the inside out. I've got some opinions on some things that need to be high priority now for the city that have come from just looking around, working around things in the city, and looking at what other communities have been doing. I want to share that with you, get some of your thoughts. And then during the 11 o'clock hour, I will be joined by a special guest. I'll keep you hanging on who that is, but someone who will help us talk about this topic. Let me cue this up for you. Here's what we're going to talk about: how cities can fund the future. Local governments are far from broke if they can tap their enormous market power. There are some innovative ways that cities can make more money, more resources to fund basic public service and infrastructure and public safety and so on and so forth. So I'm going to be talking to somebody who knows a thing or two about that very thing. But until then, from 10 to 11, it is you and me here in the studio. So 790-2040. We're going to cover a lot of ground, a lot of things that I know you listening have been thinking a lot about on this station. This station is known for people and listeners who are really engaged in the community, have thought deeply about the issues, have formed hopefully informed opinions. You have formed informed opinions about things. And so we're going to have a good conversation. So let's go ahead and dig in. You know, I wanted to talk about, and I've hinted at it a little bit on the show, but this topic of annexation, for about maybe a half year, three quarters of a year, I've been thinking about this topic in Tucson because it gets talked about quite a bit as a way to grow city revenue. And basically, without getting too much into the weeds, when communities annex into the city, it increases state shared revenues, which means revenue that goes to the state then gets dispersed back down into local jurisdictions. And though that math is based, at least in part, on population. So the more population, the more money. It's kind of like how the HERF fund works, as I'm learning. The highway user fund is money that comes from that comes down into our community based on how many people are using the highway and using roads, quite frankly. So a lot of the funding math, a lot of the funds that could come into the city are based on population and population growth, and that applies to the annexation conversation, that applies to road funds and so on and so forth. And so You know, I mean, it's on the city's website. I know the current mayoral administration has really been beating the annexation drum, and indeed, there's a lot of thorny issues that have been going on in the city around that and how to do that the best. But I've started to lose a little bit faith or interest in annexation being the solution or even a solution to that specific problem. It's actually been interesting to see how other cities have been in fact de-annexing because they realize that with annexation brings greater requirements for public services and public safety and so on and so forth. And that's kind of been, you know, my question around this annexation conversation in Tucson. I'm going to get into some of my thoughts on that in a second, but 520-790-2040. If you have been involved in this or you have thoughts about it or, you know, I hear a lot of people looking at what Marana has done in terms of its annexation strategy and how even back in, I think, the 70s and 80s, some of Tucson's decisions kind of either landlocked us or prevented us from successful annexation. But here are some thoughts that I have around it. One is with more in the city, yes, it means more funding, but also means more area to serve. And I was looking at this article a little bit earlier. I'll start here. Let me pull it up here. Here we go. So I was looking at an article from about this time last year. Tucson police deal with staffing shortage. Tucson Police Department staffing levels have dropped to an all-time low in recent years. The officers' union says the manpower shortage is impacting patrols, the officers on the line who handle all the 911 calls. What is causing the serious delays? And what it looked like here is that they are trying to find people to staff, not necessarily that they don't have the resources to staff. The total squad roster last year was 300 and or in 2016 was 392 officers. Now the Tucson Police Department for the 2019 budget, and I have this pulled up. This is from memory at the moment because I'm looking at a different screen. But I think it was $171 million dollars that goes towards specifically towards police. Whether it is a staff shortage or a money shortage, to me that problem doesn't go away when you are adding more people into the city through annexation. So that's one thought. I might dive in on that in a little bit. My bigger thought is Tucson's population density is about 2,800 people per square mile. You look at a place like Boston, for example, which has just about 100,000 more people than we do. They've got 13,321 people per square mile. You look at places like Newark and Miami, which have either similar city limit population sizes or even half of what we do, and their population density is 4, 5, 6 times what our population density is. So what this is all coming to for me is, I don't know whether if we're looking at Tucson is losing state shared revenue dollars because we're not annexing more people in. To me, the bigger question is, what is the best way to have people be a part of the city of Tucson? Whether that is making it a place that people want to come and want to live, or expanding the housing and businesses and those kind of resources within the city so that more people can live within the city limits. To me, that is that's the bigger point. I talk to people who have a beef with how Tucson is run or how Tucson looks. And it's so interesting because so many of them live outside the Tucson city limits. It's amazing. Often those comments are coming from residents of Oro Valley or Marana or Saddlebrook or, you know, Catalina or maybe even Sahuarita. And sure, it's in the Tucson metro region, but it's not living in the city of Tucson city limits. And there's so many people who I know who are Tucson advocates, who are passionate about this community and passionate about this city, who don't live in the city. And I wonder, and that's personal choice, that's personal freedom. You can live where you want to live. But I wonder why that is. And I wonder what if the better conversation is, instead of trying to add a room onto our house, what would it mean to make the house work better first? And whether that is, and there's many hours and other shows on this station who really talk about this, I think, in an important way. And I'm just skimming that surface, but parks and roads and police, what if we were to get those to a better level? Would more people want to stay and live and work in the Tucson city limits? So part one is, how do we have more people want to stay and move into the city of Tucson limits? Because I think, and Austin has a bit of a higher population density per square mile, but even Austin is thinking, you know, we are so sprawled out. We are so big. We have room to grow internally. And if you're looking at cities both in the country and around the world, the population density is often much, much higher than Tucson's. We have so much opportunity to grow within the city. To me, that needs to be the conversation. Because if annexation was easy or possible or the best right next step, you know, we would have done it by now. And I wonder if we're focusing too much on that as a solution rather than focusing on the P's and Q's within our community that are known to be things that retain people and families and businesses in the community. That's a thought that's been rattling around in my head for a while. And in Tucson, that often feels like kind of a radical new approach. But I don't think it is. I think if we take care of our house, people will come and people will stay, and we have room to grow within the city limits. If we can get our P's and Q's right, I think it will solve a lot of problems. So that's my thought. I'm going to dig into a couple more specifics on the other side of the break. But Tucson, we are talking people and budget and annexation and Tucson thesis. New revenue models for cities coming up. Growth from the inside out. How cities can be funded into the future. When we come back, I've been digging around the city of Tucson budget. I'll share some thoughts, some things that might be interesting to you, and we will continue conversation that way. You're on 1030 The Voice, Tucson. Don't go away. More trusted local news and talk coming at you on the other side of the break. Tucson, welcome back to the show. You are on 1030 The Voice. Me, your host, Zach Yenser. As daily, we bat around the issues and themes and ideas that are crucial, that are vital to getting Tucson where I think we all believe it can go and reaching the potential that we know that it has. In this first hour, we're having a conversation together. We are covering ground around annexation and population growth in Tucson and what that means. Talking about budget, I did some looking around some recent Tucson budgets, and I've got some ideas for you on if there was a if uh, if if we collectively had a magic wand for a couple days, maybe what are some of the things that I would look at doing, or maybe resources that we could look at repurposing to tackle some challenges in the city. And then during the 11 o'clock hour, I'm going to keep it a bit of a secret for a little bit more time. Just because it's fun. But a guest will come on the 11 o'clock hour to talk about the idea that cities are not as broke as they think they are, that there are some really innovative new funding methods beyond just the property or sales tax or different charges that cities currently charge. There is a responsible use of existing resources in the way that we've come about resources in cities, but there's actually some really innovative new ways around the country that cities are starting to take a hold of, especially in the era of Trump. And I don't say that either positively or pejoratively. That's more of a journalistic statement. Things like the major tax cut that went into place soon into Trump's presidency has just really impacted what resources cities have to work with in certain areas. And it's actually for better or for worse, and I think in some ways better, and we'll tell you why in 11 o'clock hour. It's kind of decentralized. This decentralized from the federal level to the city and state level, what cities can do and what get to do. So there's a lack of some traditional resources, but some real innovation in how cities are figuring out ways to maintain infrastructure and fund public works, and to do it in a collaborative way that is outside of the typical and usual method. So I'm looking forward to talking about that and riffing on some city growth and development ideas with my guests during the 11 o'clock hour. But for now, it's you and I here on the air. 520-790-2040 is your front door key to the conversation that we are having today. And just to recap, because we hit on a few big topics in the first segment. I was talking in the first segment about kind of my I haven't been convinced yet. And if you want to convince me, call in 790-2040. I'm not totally convinced that this idea of annexation is a solution to the state shared revenue problem that some talk about, that if we could just get more people within the city of Tucson limits, that would create more state shared revenue, which it would, and then that would help Tucson's financial situation. The math to me doesn't add up. And again, my job is to catalyze and facilitate conversation. It's not always to be right, if that makes sense. I try to be, but if you are more right than me and you have a better math or you have a better opinion on this, call in 790-2040. But it just seems to me that if we right now are having 30 to 40 to 50 minutes, for example, and again, this is a topic talked about on other shows extensively and in depth. But if we're having problems with getting police and responders on site within a short period of time, it doesn't make sense to me how adding more landmass and adding more people is going to solve that problem. To me, it would make more sense to solve that problem first. And we've got room in Tucson. I think we've got room to grow within and up a ways in our city. And by the way, when I say up, I'm not talking Chicago, New York City landscape. I'm saying that there are areas of our community where more density would be appropriate. But we have a density of about 2,800 people per square mile. Austin is about 50 square miles larger than Tucson, and it's got, I think, about a 3,400 person per square mile density. And they're starting to have massive problems with sprawl and things being too long, too far away, and too big. And it's interesting to watch the Austin conversation, a city that we often compare ourselves to, starting to talk about how they're just a little bit too big and have room to grow to grow within. So somebody told me the other day, you don't fix a house by building a room onto it. You fix a house by fixing the house. And to me, I think the room to grow for Tucson is within itself. Again, it's not a new thought, it's a shared thought, but I'll talk about it. You know, getting our parks, our roads, our public safety on point, making it a livable quality of life place, and encouraging folks to live and move into the city. I hinted at briefly before we went to break that there's a lot of people who will make a choice to live in the metro area, but not the city of Tucson area. And we need to figure out why that choice is being made and solve those problems. But I'm not saying we have to start new with that conversation. I think we know what the issues are. We know what the challenges are. So that is my thought there, which is going to lead me to talking about a couple of interesting budget items. The city of Tucson's budget is passed. It's a 300-page document. Every year it goes up online. It's publicly accessible. I think the city manager provides great context for it. It's a very interesting document, surprisingly an easy read. It's public. It's up online to look at. I looked at it, had some thoughts. I'll get into that in a minute. Let's see. Let's go to our live line and take Richard's call. Richard, you're on line two. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Zach, you're talking about police in Tucson, our issues there. The one thing that keeps coming up in my mind is the fact that on John C. Scott's show, he interviewed a man named Hanley, who's done a lot of research on the Tucson police. And the long and the short of it is that about 3 or 4 years ago, we were handing out like 21,000 citations in the city, and that has declined down to around 8,500 tickets handed out in the city. So, you know, with our wrecks are up, our red light running has increased, deaths are up, pedestrian deaths are up. We don't seem to have any policing, period. It's like is this a matter of standing up to the police union or what? What's going on?
That's a good question. I didn't hear that segment on John's show. I have to go back and listen to that.
Yeah, Google Mr. Hanley's name. It's Hanly or something. Hanley and Tucson's police citations, and there will be an article will come up.
Okay.
But that's pretty devastating. You know, a 60% decline in citations is like saying it's okay to run the lights and break the laws in our city. We've already always had a problem with that in our city. It's fairly lawless, and the people drive too fast. It's dangerous.
Yep.
So every mayoral candidate needs to answer this question. What are they going to do about that?
You know, Richard, I completely agree. One of my frustrations that is growing, honestly, with you is that I don't hear this being talked enough about at the council or mayoral level. I just don't know why I don't know why.
If that's true, that's bizarre. You know, that's really bizarre. We're no longer writing tickets in a city that's very dangerous to begin with and always has been. You know, that's never kept up with the infrastructure, it's never kept up with our population.
Right.
And our ticket decline, with that right there in itself, is going to keep companies from coming here.
Yep. Agreed.
And
I agree with you, Richard. Another thing you made me think about is you take, for example, you notice the traffic has increased, and it's not just the snowbird population. I think our roads have more cars on it, more people on it. And you just take, for example, like a company like Caterpillar coming in, which in many ways is a great addition to the city. But you think that's adding 700 or 800 cars that are commuting down the 10, that are commuting down Oracle from Marana and Oro Valley. I mean, that's a lot more cars and people on the road. I think this is maybe to my point, Richard, I think before we think about adding stuff in, we got to take care of what we have. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And, this is a pretty devastating number that our citations have gone down from 21,000 to like 8,500. You know, I don't like getting a ticket, you know, and I suppose I'm older now and I don't drive very fast anymore, but, like I used to, but, you know, we have to maintain law and order. You know, we have to have a police presence. They can't just abdicate their authority and, you know, and not do this job. That's not right.
Richard, was this gentleman's theory that there's less there's less staff and less police force to make those citations? Or
I think that was part of it, Zach, but I think just that doesn't add up to the overall reason. And it's just that they said that some police officers just do not like to give tickets any longer. They feel that it's somebody else's responsibility on the police force or something. And no doubt, probably many of them are out on calls or in court. And no doubt we probably are understaffed. But still, you know, the message being sent is, hey, just run the red light. Who cares?
Mm.
You know?
Yep.
It's a good way to become a third world town.
Thanks, Richard, for your call. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Zach. Keep up the good work, buddy. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, interesting call there. I think, you know, I don't want to see Tucson become a reactive town that isn't thinking through as we grow, as we develop, as we carry on the momentum that we have, you know, with the Amazons coming in, the Caterpillars coming in, businesses coming in. That's gonna create additional population, additional need. That's gonna create things that I think we need to be planning. Now. So, in terms of Tucson being a quality place to live, right? If my thesis is, before we have the annexation conversation, let's make the place that we currently have as good as possible. We're going to talk about, right? If you're listening, you go, well, that is what annexation would do. It would bring more funds in. I'm not trying to be black and white about this or binary. I know it's a little bit more complex than what I'm presenting. But from a revenue standpoint, there's other ways we can make revenue. I think we need to take care of the house that we have. And I've got a couple of ideas to throw your way that if I had the magic wand, opportunity, I would look at a couple things. Number one, I'm looking at a recent budget passed by the city of Tucson. And by the way, let me just share. Here's kind of the major funding streams for this city. The public utility charge is 18.6%, was 18.6% in 2018-2019 of Tucson's revenue. The business privilege tax, sales tax, it's the fancy term for sales tax, was 18.2%. And then state share tax, right? Well, so when we talk about annexation, that state share tax is what we're talking about. It was 13.1%. Of the city's revenue. So those are the major revenue streams, and you've got a lot of tiny things, whether it's grants or licenses and permits that go into that. But those are the largest chunks: public utility charges, business privilege tax, sales tax, and then state shared taxes make up the majority. So there is that. But I wanted to go ahead and I'm scrolling down here. It is a 300-page document, after all. But they show the breakdown of how much goes where, and it gave me some interesting thoughts and interesting questions. First of all, Tucson police had $170 million and change in the 18-19 budget. Go towards it. I want to start with planning and development services. Out of the entire budget, $6 million was put towards planning and development services in the city. Now that is kind of a two-part element there. So it used to be that the city had a planning department and a development services department. Planning is, you know, the Plan Tucson, general plan, neighborhood plans, community-facing, strategic long-term planning, simplistically. Then development services, more the licensing, more the permitting, more of the uh, more more of the development, construction, services, getting businesses in and permitted and ready to go. So there's the planning long-term side. There's the development short-range side. Those used to be separate departments. The city merged them. And I forget what guest I was talking to this week on the air, because I think it was this week. I would not necessarily propose that those be split up again. I think it's good that it's kind of under one house, because if you've got great long range planning, poor short term execution, you've got a mess. If you've got good short term execution but poor long range planning, you also have a mess. So I think it's good that somehow, some way, the two are communicating. But as I've mentioned a lot on the show, planning and development services, the planning side has been cut by about 66% from what it used to be. And in fact, if you lived here in Tucson in the 70s and 80s and maybe early 90s, but more the 70s and 80s, your city had staff who were 100% 8-to-5 in charge of neighborhood planning. And basically, just so you know, neighborhood plans, there's about 130 registered neighborhoods in the city of Tucson. And each neighborhood plan has the opportunity, each neighborhood has the opportunity to have a neighborhood plan. And that neighborhood plan is basically based on the zoning of the area and based on what the neighborhood wants to see. We talk about the power of neighborhoods. What's interesting is that these neighborhood plans have to be sponsored by the ward office that they're in, and then they have to be brought forward at the very end to the entire mayor and council and affirmed and confirmed by the entire mayor and council. And it's about a 1-to-2-year process in between. So we talk about neighborhoods and the power that they have. I think it's important to also mention that that power is somewhat structural. That power is within the system of local Tucson government. That's not neighbors with signs deciding to picket because they feel like it one day. The city has a process for helping neighborhoods devise the mission and vision for their neighborhood, but it has to align with Plan Tucson, which is the hundreds of page general plan that the city has. It can't just be a neighborhood thing that you figure out on your own someday after a great pizza the night before and submit to the city. It's years of planning. It has to ladder up to the general plan. It has to be passed by the mayor and council, and all the 130 neighborhoods in Tucson have the opportunity to have this. And once upon a time, you had a department within the city that was full-time designated to help neighborhoods develop these plans. I think that there needs to be some level of budget allocation back to planning and development services, specifically the planning side, to grow the bandwidth that the department has to do public planning. I think a lot of the developer versus neighborhood tension and conversation would be mitigated by having a stronger public-facing planning department. I love the staff I've gotten to work with in planning. The people are great. There's just not enough of them. And the focus has been on streamlining the development side of planning and development versus the public-facing side. So as Tucson is changing, if we're not beefing up the planning department, the long-range planning side of our city, we're just setting ourselves up for some really nasty conversations, slow development, slow growth, and just a tension that's going to go on for years and years and years. That's my Nostradamus hat on. And so I would beef that up from $6 million. Now, I would take that from somewhere else, right? That's not an expansion of the bureaucracy. That's a reallocation. Probably on the other side of this break before 11, I'll talk about an area that I think we could take money from to fund these things. So I think planning and development needs to be developed. And I was going to talk about this more, but I've talked about it on the air before, so I won't go into it. I would do with planning like Parks and Rec did with the park rangers. I would work with neighbors who are really invested in the planning side of our city, give them some basic training, pay them a small hourly wage, to not grow city staff, but to work with communities to redesign and redevelop these neighborhood plans to be relevant to, honestly, the 21st century. And I don't mean that in a big, exaggerated way. Some of these plans were in the 70s or 80s when our city was completely different. They need updated. Some neighborhoods like mine need a completely new one. We don't even have one. 4,000 years of history, and we don't have a plan for our neighborhood. It's amazing. So that area, I think, needs to needs to be beefed up. Before I go to break, let me also hit on this. One of the things, and a lot of people smarter than me in the city right now are talking about this, which is a good thing. We just need to execute on it. Is we can't bond our way out of maintaining city services, right? So we have a bond in play here in the city for a couple more years yet that funds road repair and public safety. I would agree with the tone coming out of City Hall that we can't bond our way out of that stuff anymore. We have to figure out how to have a slushy general fund revenue stream that is consistent for road maintenance, public safety, and parks and rec. We got to have a general fund that can support that. Where we're going to go to here in the show, the rest of this hour and next hour, is what areas of, just as a citizen who is going through the masochistic exercise of looking at a city budget, if I had a magic wand, what area of the city budget might I move money over from to fund that? What might I partner with the private and nonprofit sector in our community to do better? And then in the 11 o'clock hour, how do we not just reallocate funds, but how do cities make more money and make use of current resources and not just be thinking constantly, you know, how do we raise taxes or how do we create more tax revenue, but how do we come up with different revenue streams in our community? So that's where we're going to go for the next hour and 15 or so as we are talking Tucson today here on the show. Kind of a Tucson thesis. How do we take care of our house first and foremost, and what would that look like in some tangible ways? 520-790-2040 is your live line option to join the conversation. I certainly hope you do. Thanks to those who called and commented in during this segment. Let's keep it coming. When I come back, I'm going to look at an area of the budget that I think has a lot of resources allocated towards it that might be able to be reallocated. I'll tell you about that on the other side of the break. And then a special guest comes in at 11 to talk about how cities can create more resources out of the resources we already have. I'm excited about that. You're on 1030 The Voice. Come on back after the break. Tucson, welcome back as we are rapidly approaching the end of this 10 o'clock hour. It's amazing how fast time flies when you're having fun, and we're having fun together, digging into some topics and issues that matter for Tucson. I kind of set up today's show, both hours of it, talking about this conversation I hear more and more about and have heard more and more about. And there's a lot of smart people out there, you listening, who've been talking about this for a while. So call in 790-2040. But some of my mental challenges around how we talk about annexation to the city and how that can provide more income. I think it provides more state shared revenue, but it also brings in more population, more public services that have to be executed, more needs. I'm more aligned, I think, with some cities around the country that are actually de-annexing because they realize that it's it sounds good on the front end, but it takes execution on the back end. That's kind of net-net. And I think we'd be better served to take the steps to take care of the house we currently have before we build rooms on. That is my theory. That's my philosophy. I'm willing to be challenged on it. If you have a smarter, better idea, and I'm granting that you probably do, call in 790-2040 and let's have a conversation. But then that led us to talking about, you know, what are some things that we need to do, and how might we fund those and source those to take care of the house that we have. I hinted on one. I talked about the $6 to $7 million planning development services budget in a recent Tucson budget. Transportation is about $130 million line item in the budget. A curiosity thought of mine, I haven't had enough time to research it. If we are having the challenges we're having today, so there's two line items. Transportation is 130 mil. capital is $201 million. So I don't know what goes where, but out of a, that falls under a public, that falls under community enrichment and development budget, which is about half of the annual Tucson City budget. And within that, transportation and transportation capital costs are by far the largest item under that. So my question, I don't have the answer. My question is, if we have, and that totals up about 330 mil, by the way, if we have $330 million a year that is allocated towards transportation and transportation capital costs, and we still struggle with the maintenance and infrastructure like we do, what does that general fund amount need to grow to? It's a genuine, serious question. I don't know the answer. Maybe I just gave myself homework. If you know, again, 790-2040. But what would we need to maybe grow that to be, so that we don't have to bond ourselves out of that infrastructure costs. So a thought there. Again, if there's a detail or a nuance I'm missing, give a call in. Let's talk about it. But, you know, for example, I look at housing and community development. The budget line item for that is $85 million a year. You know, I'm a housing guy. If there is an issue in the city that we need to be long-term strategizing around, it is housing. If you've got smart people and technology and small business thriving and people coming into the city and they can't afford to live in your city, you've got a problem that's not going to go away. So we need to make sure that we have that one figured out on the front end. So I'm a housing guy, but I also know that there's a lot of, and we'll get into it in the 11 o'clock hour, a lot of public-private partnership that can be happening around that, whether it's opportunity funds or it's setting up a collaborative nonprofit with private industry who may be incentivized to, like opportunity zones, either delay capital gains tax or whatever the case may be, to invest in housing and community development. Would want to look at that option, I would think. And then also kind of the interfaith community as well on the community development side. There's a lot of nonprofit work and faith-based work going on in the city around housing and community development. And it would be interesting to see if some of that $85 million could be reallocated somewhere else by partnerships with the nonprofit and faith-based community in the city. So again, one of the questions I threw out there on the air is, before we get to our 11 o'clock hour, which is focused on how do we expand our pie in Tucson, how do we expand our resources, how do we maybe reallocate the resources that we currently have, I think housing and community development could be one that maybe the city could look at some ways to partner with the faith-based and nonprofit community, because that's an $85 million a year line item there. So just a thought. Again, if you missed it in the last segment, Tucson Police is about $171 million in the budget. And I was trying to do some digging before I came into the show. If you have the answer, give a quick call before our show closes out for this hour. Has your sense been that TPD's delay time or the need for more officers is a staffing issue or a funding issue or a choice of funding issue? I'd be curious what your lay of the land is on that. I know, for example, this is a completely different level of public safety, but I know they're having a heck of a time down in, I think it's Lukeville, recruiting Border Patrol officers. I mean, they are incentivizing Border Patrol officers with amazing packages that you can make about 100K if you go work as a Border Patrol officer for a few years down at Lukeville? Is that, yeah, down at Lukeville. And then it's actually considered a hardship post. And then if you work a few years there, you get top of the line. You get top of the line choice of what place you want to go after. And so you can live there. You can make six figures. You can commute up to Tucson. So they're having a heck of a time down there. And so it'd be interesting. And I think I think it was one of Christy Simone's shows earlier in the week. Was Sheriff Mark Napier in on Monday? I think that was Monday's show. And it sounds like at a Pima County level, which is why I don't want to say that this necessarily applies to the city of Tucson. But Pima County is having a hard time recruiting as well. So figuring out ways maybe to recruit more police officers. I know there's been a lot of work on re-recruiting. Right, there's a lot of TPD officers that left and went to Marin and Oro Valley. They've, I understand, since been kind of re-recruited back. So I think it might be a combination of both staffing and funding. And the more I talk about it, the less sure I get of which one is it, or what percentage of combination is it staffing versus funding for the staffing. But yeah, just so you know, it's $171 million line item in the budget. So
fantastic. I know that they're having problems getting contractors' positions filled in certain areas, too, for the video cable guys, all the little anything to do with the fence or the gate or the wall or whatever you want to call it. So they're still looking. And those guys are paid, you know, 30, 40, 50 bucks an hour.
You're talking south.
Yes.
Yeah, not Tucson, but got it. Yeah. Yeah, I learned that little nugget this week. That was interesting, just to kind of hear the challenges that they're having down there, and what how they are incentivizing participation. So those are some of my thoughts, Tucson. I think it's a fun exercise to get tangible, to not just talk about it, but to figure out what might be able to be done around it. Hour one's focus, again, if you're just joining us, has been how do we take care of the house that we have, whether it's parks, roads, public safety, small business support. How do we create a community first where people want to live? My thesis is that before Tucson thinks about annexation, we need to have a strong house. We need to solve the problems we currently have. Create more density within our current city limits, make Tucson be a place people want to come, want to stay, want to live. I think we're still challenged in that area. And then when we have a strong core, then we can think about adding. Now, again, there's a temptation of annexation. I push back on it, and I have pushed back on it in this hour. I'm looking at communities around the country who are de-annexing because they're realizing it's either a net-net or a net loss for cities, because you're adding state shared revenue, but you're also adding geography, public services, so on and so forth. And my point has been, if it's taking half an hour to an hour to get cops out to the land that we have, can you imagine trying to supply, you know, trying to supply TBD officers to, you know, like Green Valley or Vail or whatever the case may be. So I think we've got stuff we've got to figure out internally, make our house strong, and then we can grow. And I spent the rest of the half hour proposing a couple ways that we can do that, making our neighborhood and community and development conversations better by having stronger planning and development, resource allotment, and then, you know, looking at ways that might partnerships within the city might free up some current dollars to go in other directions. And that takes us, my friends, to our 11 o'clock hour, where I will be joined by a special guest. We're about to introduce her into the studio, who will talk with us about ways that we can expand our resource pie in the city. How do cities make more money? Our constant conversations, we're strapped. The state legislature, we can't make enough money. We don't get state shared revenues. My next guest is going to help blow that up by talking about 21st century ways cities can tap into current resources to fund the stuff that matters. I'm looking forward to it. 10:30 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Come on back after the break.